All right, this morning, Matthew chapter 5, if you would turn there, we're going to read. Pastor Chris already opened things up, and man, I was so blessed last week. What an amazing teaching. Just God used it in multiple ways in my heart and soul. And so we're just going to keep rolling from that this morning. Read with me Matthew chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 6. Thank you, God. I got some extra page turning going on here. That's good. All right. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. We're talking about Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah. And when he had seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them. So they sat down. He's speaking to the disciples, but there was this huge crowd of people that were there. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we've talked about that. Blessed are happy. Contented are those who acknowledge that they are poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the bottom line is, for all of us, it's just a great reminder that we will not enter the kingdom of heaven without admitting that we are poor in spirit, that we need God, that we have things that in our lives that we are desperately in need of. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we talked about the reality that grieving, that mourning process, but primarily for our sin, then the sin of our families, the sin of our community, the sin of our nation, it says they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we mentioned, meekness is not weakness, but strength under control. And we're looking at that time where we will inherit the earth. And what does that mean? Pastor Chris read verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm reading in the New King James. It says, for they shall be filled or satisfied. The same Greek word meaning the same thing. And so from there, I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 20 real quick. Exodus chapter 20. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to just take an application jump, because we've been talking about the upside down kingdom and the Ten Commandments. Oh, that's cute, David. I like that. Daddy David. That's awesome. Sorry, a squirrel. Let's get back. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Now, I want you to pay attention here. And God spoke all these words. God himself spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. We've been talking about the balance between the Old Testament, as we've discussed multiple times. And I want to read this to you. If you want to use a really good website, it's just called the Ten Commandments. And it's a website that's dedicated just to the Ten Commandments. And we've talked about how that so many times over the years in our society, we've walked away from that, or we've misunderstood the importance of things. It says to the Jews, the Torah has a total of 613 commandments. Pastor Chris has talked about this in the past, and we've talked about the number of those, which includes the 10 from the Decalogue. And the Decalogue is the Ten Commandments. Traditional rabbinical Jewish belief is that these commandments apply solely to the Jewish people. Many of these laws were instituted because of sin, an example of the Passover, and hence were in fact only for the Jews, because the gospel did not go to the Gentiles at that point until after the sacrificial law ended at the cross. But the Ten Commandments, of course, are very much a standalone law for all mankind. They were written by the finger of God, personally spoken by God, and were stored inside the Ark of the Covenant under the mercy seat, which represented the very presence of God. Clearly, the Ten Commandments are extremely important to God. Now, as I read through Matthew chapter 5, and we talked about this progression, I want you to just think about this. And we've talked about also in these verse studies and in this analysis that leading up to verse 6, that Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, he studied all the law. He studied, he believed, and he lived by the Ten Commandments. He lived his life and placed nothing before his God his Father in heaven. Think about this reality as you consider different aspects of his sinless life. So let me just remind you, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. Jay, y'all want to make your way up here? The origin of filled or satisfied, as Pastor Chris said last week, and I'm just following up because I think it's a great time for us to talk about the first commandment. Because I'm sitting there last week and my heart is so stirred within me, and it was such a practical, great illustration, setting the table and the way that the verses were tied together. Man, my heart is jumping within me and I'm taking notes of what Pastor Chris is speaking about, and I was just so fired up because think about this original. It was a livestock term that we're talking about where it says filled or satisfied. It's a livestock term for fatten up or to fill up or to satisfy. Think of it this way. We are not to have any gods or any sources that we make more reliable to us than God. We should have no other sources that we look to for our satisfaction. Now, I think the reason that this is so important, and this is what I want to mention, is that because so many times you can look at it from just a one-dimensional standpoint. You can look at it and say, don't have any other gods before me. But what does that really mean? And a lot of us, we can interpret that to mean different ways, different things in different ways. Don't put God before me. And what we're trying to do is with this illustration is give you a more tangible methodology for you to evaluate, do you have or how do you have other sources that you rely on or go to fatten you up or to satisfy you above God? Because that's really what it means. And I can tell you that as we're studying this, one of the things that we take for granted is Jesus' entire life. And I want you to think about this as you apply this grid across everything that you know about Jesus and look at the scripture. Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior, his entire life was dedicated and devoted to making his Father in heaven, God Supreme, Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, keeping him where he was rightfully supposed to be, and nothing or no one would be more important or a more important source, or no one or nothing would be more reliable than God himself. So as Pastor Chris said last week, we have this beautiful illustration of God has prepared this table. But not this table that's just in some tranquil, sinless utopian world. No, God prepares a table right in the middle of all of our junk, right in the middle of all of our blah about us or the things that are going through. And this morning, you're here, and I don't know where you are in your faith journey, but I can promise you by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ that you're here for a reason this morning. And God, just as he is sitting at the table, he is beckoning or wooing or asking or calling you to come sit with him and participate with him. To sit down at the table, and you know what I love? And this is one of the challenges for those of you that you've gotten away from the traditional family table. I just want to remind you that all across the globe, the table is a beautiful place of fellowship, interaction, conversation, and unification and connection. So here, Chris represents all of us. He's responded to the invitation to sit at the table and to be filled and to be satisfied. And yet, as we all know, just like what Jesus experienced, that we all have these temptations, we have these challenges. There are these forces of evil, and the leader that is behind them is the defeated one, and the defeated one's name is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And he has these trickeries, these things that he uses to try to get our attention. Because what is the goal? Please hear me when I say this. The goal is to woo you away from making God your source, your primary source. So if he can't get you away from the table one way, and some of us, let's just be honest, we're easily distracted. Then the game gets more intense. There's more of an intensity. So what does he use? I want you to think about this. This first table that we see is an extension. Come and get fattened over here, and he uses pride to get us sucked in. Chris's confusion is because that natural appetite, the forces of evil use this natural appetite for self to pull us away from God. Pride. Come on, man, over here. It's all about you. Look at me, self-worship. And what that does, if we respond to this pride, this self-worship, this self-pursuit, life is all about me. What are the ramifications of getting up from the table and we begin to eat and we think that we're getting full, but in the process, we've seen it all around us, that this pride and this self-worship begins to distort. It creates this distortion of family. It creates this distortion of community. It creates this distortion of even church worship when we begin to allow ourselves to be pulled away by our appetite for pride. But he's a worthy adversary, so he's not going to just stop there. Okay? If Chris won't respond to the pride meal, man, come on over here. Get up from allowing yourself with God. Hey, we've got something more for you. Hey, listen, you've got something. Come on, man, you're going to miss out. What happened in the very beginning? You're going to miss out. And so what does he do? He says, let me show you something that you can see. Let me, what you can set your eyes on. And so this appetite, it says, look at me. All these things, the power and the possessions, look at what you can have. Look at what you can see, the power and the possessions. He tries to woo us away from the table and away from God. And what is he saying? Come on, man. What does it work? With your eyes? Look at me. And that plays into pride as well. But think about when we've seen people go into that. You see emotional abuse, mental abuse, even human trafficking is part of that whole thing of possessions and that whole thing of power and extension over other people. But it doesn't stop there. Now, as you're watching this played out this morning, can you also think about what we talked about in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11? When Jesus went into the wilderness, and he'd gone 40 days without food, and he had fasted, and he was in the wilderness. These same temptations were presented to Jesus, the Son of God, and Lucifer was trying to woo him away. The very Son of God, please hear me, brothers and sisters, the very Son of God, he thought that he could woo him away from being at the table with the Father. So what did he use? An appetite for experiences. He's saying, hey, look, whatever you can touch, whatever you can feel, these experiences, that third temptation, he's saying, whatever makes you feel good. Think about it, whatever you can touch, whatever you can experience, come over here and eat. Partake of this. This is going to make a difference. Think about when we do that. What are the ramifications? We've seen sexual immorality. Alcohol use and drug use is at an all-time high. It's at epidemic levels because the forces of evil have wooed people away and they think, let me eat, let me fill of this, let me be satisfied. And yet, there's never any satisfaction. But just like Jesus in the wilderness with the temptation, some of you have been expecting God to intervene sooner than, or maybe according to your expectation, But sometimes God lets things play themselves out because it's us who have to realize where our source is. But then at a certain point, God steps in. So as we're talking this morning and as we're going through things, as we study together, I want you to think about what 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, I want to read it in the Amplified Bible. For all that is in the world, the lust and the sensual craving of the flesh, and the lust and longing of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, this pretentious confidence in one's resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world. This illustration this morning, as you're looking up here, what is the difficult, most difficult challenge for each and every one of us? To stay connected and present with God. To stay connected and present with God through Jesus and to be yielded to the Spirit. And as Pastor Chris was talking earlier in your talk last week, we, none of us, because of that Romans chapter 7, by the way, I did read Romans chapter 7, and I appreciate that ADHD passage. Thank you very much for those of you that were here last week. Okay, I did read that. But it's a perfect chapter to talk about this fleshly balance, this battle, this struggle that we have to stay balanced. And what it means is not that we're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness all the time, but that we are going to stay close and we're going to stay connected with the Father so that we can allow Him to help us and His Spirit to intervene so that we can begin to get a taste of what it is to truly have God provide for us. Isn't that what Alex said earlier? It all dovetails together. Do you believe that God loves you and that God cares about you, and God can provide for you based on your specific situation and where you are? See, the faith that we're talking about is real and personal on the most basic level. So, don't have Jesus proclaimed it? Jesus lived it? But God the Father, Yahweh said, don't put anyone else in this seat of resource, provision, or protection, but Him alone. Now, you know what we have a tendency to do? And I'm going to ask you guys to do this, improv. Is that what a lot of us do is we say, oh, Pastor Tim, I don't struggle with that. But what you struggle with may be what Chris and I struggle with. That's the best. Do you get what just happened? That's okay, God. I got the table. I got everything. I'll let you know when I need you.
When God turns His back on you.
Do you get what we're trying to say in just a very practical way? Let's yield ourselves to Him. Let's come to Him. Because the beautiful part is that what God wants is our best. God has got glorious things. And you say, well, Pastor Tim, you don't know what I'm going through right now. No, I understand, but you don't know what I've been through. And the point is, are we going to let God be God? And we've got to learn some lessons here. Because I'm telling you, if we believe in Jesus Christ and He is our Lord and Savior, when we pass from this life to the next, oh, what glory that will be. It is going to be absolutely incredible. and we will no longer see partially, but we will see fully, and we'll understand the glorious things that God has prepared for those who love him. So this morning, Jesus said it with his life more than anything else. The words of our God. And I want to challenge you because the Ten Commandments are still in place and they're still reality. We are to have no other God, no other gods ahead of our God. He is to rule and reign supreme in our lives. And you say, Pastor Tim, I don't know how to do that very well. Well, we're all works in progress. And that's why we're the church. We're supposed to help each other figure that out. We're supposed to remind each other. We're supposed to encourage each other and help each other. So let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son, we're asking that you would draw people to yourself. Father, I have no clue what's going on in the hearts and minds of anybody but myself. And so I need your help today, God. I want to keep my eyes on you like never before. I want to dwell in your presence and lean on you, and I want to taste and see how good you are. I want to sit down at the table with you when I'm scared, when I feel like that there's people attacking me and throwing stones and all the criticism of this world, Father, all the things that are taking place around us, all the craziness, Father. You have still prepared a table for us to sit down and fellowship, and you've got good things. So I ask as only you can that you would open hearts, minds, and souls. And I include myself in that, God. I want to know you more. And I ask that you would add to your family, that there would be people added today by faith, that they would sit down for the first time and just experience your forgiveness. God, all the great things that you have in store. So I pray blessings over this group. God, that our eyes would be open, that our ears would hear what your Spirit is saying to the church today. And it's because of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's continue to praise his name. His mercy is more.